You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 7th day of April 2021, we're going to be looking at a strange day of baseball and one that included a few wild walk-off victories, a couple of extra inning marathons, a guy hitting three home runs in a losing cause, and the Oakland A's are off to one of their absolute worst starts in their history. Also, I'm going to have Darren Gonzalez from Purple Rose going to make a cameo at the end of the show to talk a little bit about the Colorado Rockies. This show is available on the free Odyssey app, if that's where you get your podcasts, or available wherever you get your podcasts. When you're staying at home during these, let's be calm and call them an interesting time. Be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows of the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. Follow this podcast on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Yeah, we're going to bring on Darren Gonzalez a little bit later to talk about the Rockies. But man, the Rockies game just ended. The Rockies lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks in 13 innings. The Rockies tied the game in the ninth. They had the silly ghost runner on second rule, which meant that they tied the game in both the 10th and the 12th. Finally, the Diamondbacks scored three runs in the top of the 13th to take a 10-7 lead. Ultimately, Colorado tacked on one more run, but the Diamondbacks won that game. It was the final game of the night, 10-8, the second win of the year for Arizona. And the Rockies, who won the first game of the year against Los Angeles, are now on a four-game losing streak. Let's point out two people in this game. First of all, let's give a big shout-out to Ryan McMahon. Ryan McMahon, who is played last night. What position did he play at? He played at third base, filling in for Nolan Arenado, and did about as well as you can hope. He hit three home runs. Count them, three home runs, driving in four runs. But the person I really want to bring up is making his major league debut was Matt Peacock. Matt Peacock never appeared in a game before today, and the Diamondbacks, I guess they ran out of pitchers. And he threw three innings. Now, he let up two runs, but only none of them were earned because they're all the ghost runners on second. But here's the other thing. They ran out of pinch hitters as well, so he got a hit and scored a run. Take that, Universal DH people. So you got Matt Peacock, made his big league debut, gave Arizona three innings. He has an ERA of 0.0. He has a batting average of 1,000. He has an OPS of 2,000, and he has a run scored. So, hey, look it. Welcome to the Major Leagues, Matt Peacock, as I'm channeling the announcer from The Natural right there. Hey, let's give another salute to Akil Badu. Now, Akil Badu has already had a couple of big games in his early career for the Detroit Tigers. He has a pair of home runs. He's batting 500. Well, guess what he did? He came off the bench today and then got the walk-off hit against the Minnesota Twins in 10 innings. And now the Tigers have started the season 3-2. But, man, the Twins were a team that, you know, they're a big-time contender, and they lose this game to the Detroit Tigers. So Badu, hey, or is that what it is? Akil Badu. He's from Georgia and is up with the Detroit Tigers and has given them, well, a little bit of heroism right there. Another walk-off was in Washington, and it was Soto got the walk-off hit, And I believe that's right. Yeah, it was Juan Soto who got the walk-off hit in the bottom of the 10th inning. And the Nationals won. That's their first game of the year, technically. They have a lot of games to make up. But here's an interesting thing. We're going to talk about bad starts and historically bad start. It is a bad time to be playing with an A on your hat. The best team with an A on their hat right now happens to be the Arizona Diamondbacks. Actually, I guess the Angels are as well. But the Atlanta Braves are winless. A team that went into this season with a legit hope for being a World Series contender is currently sitting at 0-4. That's not good. That's not good at all. Now, look, at the Braves have a lot of time to make that up. But, you know, as I said, there's no bad time to go 4-0. There's no good time to go 0-4, especially if some other teams have interest in winning that National League East. You know, seeing the Braves drop four games out of four right out of the gate, well, let's just say that may come back to bite them. Now, the Phillies were really hoping to run the table, to go 162-0. In the first four games, they looked like they were going to do it. But instead, Marcus Stroman of the Mets beat Philadelphia. And hey, look at that. The Mets scored eight runs. And once again, I'm sure Jacob deGrom was looking at it going, oh, really? Really, you could score eight runs? You're capable of doing that. Would you mind doing that for me every once in a while? Be a dear. Thanks a lot. Now, the Cardinals' starting pitching doesn't look that great, but they got a good start today, and they wound up winning the game in Miami 4-2. And it was, actually, I'm sorry, I misread something. Gant only went four innings. I misread it. I thought it said six. But Reyes got the save. The bullpen did the job. And Goldschmidt dashed home for the tying run in a weird base running play in that wild sixth inning. Cardinals came back to win against the Marlins 4-2. Cardinals may have some issues with their starting rotation, but we'll have to see. Hey, the Brewers can pitch. They allowed only one hit. Peralta pitched the first five innings. The bullpen went the rest of the way. They let up one hit to the Chicago Cubs. And Shaw's three-run home run in the first was all that they needed. And big, big win for the Brewers, who have, well, they have ambitions of overtaking the St. Louis Cardinals. And if they're going to do that, they're going to do that with their pitching staff. Another team in the National League Central that is at least hoping to have a meaningful season would be the Cincinnati Reds, who absolutely manhandled the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the Pirates have only, they're 1-4. And the Reds are 4-1. Again, broken record time. There's no bad time to go 4-1. And there's no bad time to be Naquin, who hit his two home runs out of the leadoff spot for Cincinnati. The former Cleveland Indian has moved across the state, or down the state, I guess, to Cincinnati. And in the leadoff spot, he got on base four times, hit two home runs. He drove in seven out of the Reds' 14 runs. And the Reds absolutely crushed Cahill and the Pirates. Miley got the win. And hey, look at, you know, the Reds lost their Cy Young Award winner, but they played, you know, they're playing their hearts out so far. And we're going to go over, there's two more National League scores to go over right now. You had the Giants losing to the San Diego Padres, and they did not get the no-hitter that I was predicting for Yu Darvish. Darvish went six innings and struck out seven, allowing only one run. But it was a late rally in the seventh inning that put the Padres up for good 3-1. The first game without Fernando Tatis Jr., we're still waiting to see when he's going to come back. But, you know, if they win the games without him and keep their nose above water, that can only go well for San Diego. Oh, and remember how the Dodgers lost that first game to the Colorado Rockies? Well, they won their next five. Clayton Kershaw, who lost game one, and the Dodgers looked super sloppy in the home opener. Well, LA won 5-1 against the A's. And we'll talk a little bit about the A's and some of the American League team when we come back. But, you know, seven innings out of Kershaw, eight strikeouts, no walks. Can't ask for much more than that. Mookie Betts hit a home run. Man, where can the Red Sox find players like him? And then you have Muncy hit a home run. 5-1, easy win for the Dodgers. So, you know, so far the biggest surprise, I think, is Cincinnati with their 4-1 start. And some love for Philadelphia with their 4-1 start. The biggest head-scratcher so far in the National League has to be Atlanta, who is winless in their first four games.
Let's talk to you a little bit about Built Bar. Built Bar is even more delicious than ever. It's the best tasting protein bar ever. They've got 18 amazing flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple, almond crisp, and my favorite, raspberry. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for a health conscious guy. If you're trying to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Let's take one of the flavors. Coconut almond has 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carbs. You get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON15. Get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you with the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow Locked On Today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
I am going to give some reluctant salutes, a reluctant salute to the New York Yankees, because, you know, I mean, I went into this year saying that I didn't trust the Yankees starting rotation. And, I mean, look, it's still early April, and a lot of things can happen. But so far, their starting rotation has looked quite good. Now, there's no surprise that Gerrit Cole was going to look good, because I believe he's the best pitcher in the American League right now. And he sure pitched like it against Baltimore. Seven shutout innings. He struck out 13 and walked none. Bruce hit a home run. Judge hit his second home run. And Stanton got two more hits after his massive grand slam the other night. And the Orioles lost again. So they're now 3-2. The Yankees are now 3-2. I'm going to give reluctant salute to the Houston Astros, who have won five of their first six games, including a dramatic 4-2 victory over the Angels, who started the game with a massive home run by Mike Trout. But then it was Carlos Correa who got the home run in the ninth inning that made the difference. Look, I make no bones that I believe that the Astros deserve all the grief that they're going to get, and I don't like that they're playing the poor me card right now. But that being said, they're winning the games. They're facing hostile crowds, and they're winning the games. So boo them, but also know that they're doing their end of the bargain. The Rangers got a 7-4 victory over the Toronto Blue Jays. So finally, the Rangers pitching staff at least made the game somewhat manageable, that they didn't let the other team run away with it. Now, the Blue Jays did get a pair of home runs from Bo Bichette, but Nick Lowe got a couple of home runs himself for Texas. So the Rangers, whose starting pitching is right now so far kind of terrible, well, they held on. And hey, how did my adopted team, the Seattle Mariners, do? Well, Paxton was taken out very early. Looks like it was an injury of some sort. And the White Sox went on to score 10 runs, including opening up the game with an Abreu grand slam. And Vaughn, who was my pick to win the American League Rookie of the Year, went 1-for-2, getting his first big league hit. How are the A's doing? I'll tell you how the A's are doing. They lost again. And once again, it wasn't close. Even though they scored early, they didn't score often. And soon they were down 4-1. And the A's are 0-6 with an obscene run differential at this point. What is their run differential right now? I think it's negative 30 at this point. And, you know, when you think about the fact that it is negative 37 in six games. How is that even possible? This is the worst start that the Athletics have had since the 1916 A's. Now stop and think about that for a second. There were several times that Connie Mack tore down the team with the intention of making them as cheap as possible. And there were times that the Kansas City A's were just basically acting like a farm team to the New York Yankees. And there was also some years where Charlie Finley absolutely strip-mined the team, and they didn't even put a major league product on the field. And none of those teams have gotten off to a start as horrific and grotesque as the 2021 A's, the team that I picked to win the American League West. I mean, yeah, there's time to turn stuff around, but at some point, you have to be actually in a game. At some point, you can't just have every single game get out of hand immediately. And they're going to be, you know, it's not going to be any better for them tomorrow as they're continuing this series with the defending World Series champion, Los Angeles Dodgers, as the A's are going to be playing a day game. Trevor Bauer's on the mound. Remember him? Lizardo was going to pitch for Oakland. I mean, now is as good a time as any for the A's to dust themselves off and at least show up. You know, can you at least show up and not be completely blown out of the dump? Oh, and by the way, the Red Sox won a weird extra inning game. Again, I can't stand ghost runners on second. I really can't. I mean, it just takes away from my enjoyment of extra innings. But a deep drive by J.D. Martinez with two outs over the head of Randy Arozarena gave the Red Sox an extra inning victory. And hey, look at that. They're now 2-3. Not great, but the first three games, they looked as bad as the A's have up until this point. So we got a full slate of games tomorrow, and I'm going to make a prediction. The Padres are playing San Francisco. Blake Snell is going to pitch for the Padres. I predict that Blake Snell will throw the first no-hitter by a San Diego Padres pitcher in franchise history.
You know, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Hope you put some money down on Baylor for the NCAA tournament, but you got the NBA, you got the NHL in full swing, and Major League Baseball is just getting started. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets and sign up for free. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code Locked On. Be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. By the way, I am going to be guest hosting the Locked On Rockies podcast, and Darren Gonzalez is my guest there. He writes about the Rockies on Purple Row, and which is a website, one of the SB Nation websites. So we talked a lot about the Rockies. This is a section of that conversation. It didn't quite fit in that podcast, but I want to share it with you here. It gives you a little preview of what we talked about on Locked On Rockies. So here is Darren Gonzalez from Purple Row. By the way, Darren, I know I'm older than you. I think I have socks older than you. But the fact of the matter is, I remember when there were no Rockies. I'm old enough to remember when the Rockies were brand spanking new. And I actually watched the first ever official Rockies game, which was took place at Shea Stadium. They played a road game for the first ever game in 1993 at Shea Stadium. where the Rocks played one of the worst Mets teams in the history of
franchises
that have had a lot of bad teams.
I can't even, as far as I can remember, Nolan Arenado has been a Rocky, right? And Troy Tulowitzki, like that's as far as my memory goes, just for reference.
Again, I'm not going to try to be old man Sully here, but I remember one of the really significant things when the team was formed. First of all, there was talk of a team going to Denver forever. Like there was expansion teams that didn't go through there. The Pirates almost moved there. The A's almost moved there. And that's actually the A's almost moving there is one of the most intriguing things because Ricky Henderson was on the A's team that would have moved to Denver. So Ricky Henderson would have been a Colorado fixture. But when they finally moved and they played in Mile High Stadium, the big deal, at least from my point of view, was that Andres Galarraga was an established player, mainly for Montreal. I think played 1 year with St. Louis. But this sense that he was going to go to Denver or to Colorado. We didn't know what they were going to be called yet. And we're like, oh my God, this guy's going to hit so many home runs in that thin air. And I think the one tragic thing with that first year was that Dale Murphy, friend of the podcast, Dale Murphy, wonderful man, wonderful guest in the podcast, had, I believe it was 396 career home runs. And he figured if I signed Denver, if I go to Colorado, he could probably hit four home runs in a day. It crossed the 400 home runs threshold. Sadly, he had nothing left in the tank and he only hit two. So Dale Murphy, of all people, was the only person to not become a big home run threat in Colorado. But that was the early years, because their first full season after the strike in Coors Field was the year they made the playoffs in 1995, the Blake Streak Bombers. And so that was the way before your time team involving Dante Bichette and Andres Galarraga and Ellis Burks and Vinny Castilla and Larry Walker and unbelievable Walt Weiss.
Hall of Famer Larry Walker.
So yeah, I go way back to then, and of course to the Red Sox Rockies, the Rocktober in 2007. But yeah, you're the teams that they've had recently, until recently, have been, until just the last couple of years, have been really entertaining for a while.
Yeah, I mean, when you got Nolan Arenado and you got DJ LeMahieu, you got Trevor Story, that core was, I mean, just as good as core as any in the league at that time. It really seemed like the sky was the limit with them.
They had a tremendous core, especially that team they had in 2018 that nearly won the division. I absolutely believe that if they had won one more game somewhere along the way, they would have gone far in that postseason.
Yeah, that's that game 163 season when they tied with the Dodgers. I mean, if you just think about how they got to game 163 and how they got quickly they fell, it's unbelievable. It's something we write about often per Perot, just because we still can't believe how quickly things just fell apart, you know, with Nolan, with losing players and stuff. It's unlike any other team. It's Rockies.
Yeah, and it's that strange when you're a team like the Rockies, you really have a window of opportunity that is, you know, that's really can be only a couple of years wide sometimes. I mean, it's the way that Kansas City had that tiny window of opportunity, made the most of it, winning back-to-back pennants and winning a World Series title in 2015. No Royals fan is frustrated by that core group, as opposed to you all who had, I'm looking at the 2018 roster, just one win somewhere along the way, and that team is the division champ and is playing Atlanta in the first round. Not that Atlanta is a pushover, but they would have been, you know, they probably would have gotten further than they did against Milwaukee. But they had Ian Desmond, Trevor Story, DJ LeMahieu, Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackman, Carlos Gonzalez, David Dahl, Geraldo Parra. I mean, that's not just deep, that's dense, right? That lineup. And Kyle Freeland and Herman Marquez and John Gray wasn't that great, but I mean Freeland and Marquez looked like they were putting together a solid pitching staff to go along with the unbelievable amount of bats that they had.
Yeah, and then the very next year, you know, Freeland just has an absolutely horrible year, deals with injuries. His season just, he ends up getting sent to AAA for part of the year, then he gets hurt and he's done. So they kind of just struck the right place, right time that 2018 year with their pitching staff. They had arguably one of the younger, more promising pitching cores coming up. They still had Senzatella, I think, coming up. And they, everybody kind of looks back at that 2018 year and they always ask, what if they just made a little, an extra move here or there right at the deadline? You know, they brought in a reliever, and I think, I don't remember who else, but you know, everyone looks back and they, the big what ifs is still there at that deadline. Could they have done more? Could that have pushed them over the edge? Like you said, one more game. You'd imagine one move could have gotten them at least one more game somewhere around there and gotten them the first division title in franchise history.
Yeah. I mean, they did make the move. I mean, that was the year they brought in Matt Holliday for a sort of a return engagement for the team. But yeah, I mean, they had Wade Davis, speaking of that Royals team that won the World Series. You know, Davis got his 43 saves, did strike out 78 in 65 and a third, but he had a couple of massive blown saves along the way. And you had Ottavino in the bullpen, who, I don't know. I mean, being backseat driver, of course, here, but it's just, it is that tiniest little thing here or there. I mean, it was still a remarkable, you know, season, and they had the wild card game victory that they had, the dramatic wild card game victory over Chicago. But it's, yeah, you take a look at that moment where they looked like they were set for the next couple of years, and to now just see it unravel as quickly as it did. I mean, it's how, that's what's startling to me, is just that it's, you know, it wasn't just a gradual decline. I mean, people talk about like the Rockies as if they're like a small market team. So Denver's not a small city, and they drew 3 million fans in 2018. I mean, the fans, I mean, I know there are other metrics for success, financial success of a team, but when you first number of your attendance is a three, you're packing them in there to see this team.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado is loves its baseball. Colorado loves its baseball. They've supported the team through some of the worst, brutal seasons now, especially even with now Nolan. I know we'll probably get to that. Nolan gone. Fans are still showing up. It was, you know, packed to what they allowed this weekend. But the fans, their support is unwavering, mostly. You know, some, you know, were pretty frustrated with the moves and stuff, but they still stick around. They still love the Rockies. And fans are, they want to see this team just turn the corner and kind of put it all together.
Thank you, Darren Gonzalez from Purple Row, and thank you for listening to Locked On MLB. Please listen to us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram, talking about the days and talking about Rockies of the past. This has been Locked On MLB for the 7th day of April 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.